The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock.
Hey guys, after the last show, just had to share. Jesus loves the little missiles, all the missiles of the world. Nuclear and standard charge, they all blow up really large. Jesus loves the little missiles of the world. Loyal.
Hi, my name is Han, and I just wanted to call you and let everybody's calling in about Boo. I gotta tell you, back when I was younger, I was an old man and a boy talking about some old hokey ancient religion or something like that, and I thought it was a bunch of woo. But in my experience, I've learned it's true. And all of it. The Jedi, the dark side, the real Gloriel.
Yeah, this is Desert Dave. I'm calling about the woo topic. The only experience I had was I went to a psychic once, and they predicted that I was going to be 2 to 3 weeks late on just about everything. But I think it was bullshit. Glory hole, motherfuckers.
Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. This is episode 260 or so. Right around there.
Never gets
Cognitive
old, Tom.
Dissonance.
Never gets old. Never gets old.
It never does, Cecil. That's why I keep doing it.
That's always fresh, buddy.
I know.
Always fresh.
It's tough for me to keep it that fresh. 259, by the way, of Cognitive Dissonance.
Here I am, talking about facts, real people, events. And you're talking about a 2,000-year-old book with stories in it that... Let's talk reality, David.
You want to talk reality?
Yeah.
Well, reality was 3.5 years ago when your husband and millions of others vanished. Now, that's reality.
They said it was UFOs.
This first story comes from The Raw Story. Conservative Texas court to decide if homeschoolers can wait for the rapture instead of teaching their kids. And like a lot of Raw Story articles, it's a little snarky, but actually not terribly snarky. So the Texas Supreme Court is going to decide whether homeschooling families actually have to do any teaching as part of their homeschooling.
One would argue that maybe they probably didn't do much teaching before.
I just, you know, like I read this and I just think like, when are we going to realize that just being a parent alone does not qualify you to also be a teacher?
Yeah, it's always interesting to me that that's the case, right? That people presume, one, that you're going to, you know, just because you fucked and you made a child that you're somehow qualified to raise that child.
Right.
Clearly, many people not qualified to raise that child.
Right. I'm not even qualified to fuck, most would argue, yeah. But I've still done it a bare minimum of twice.
Right. You need to get the permits for all that shaking of the ground. Yeah, you know, it's crazy. I agree. I think that's weird. It's like, you know, they have this idea that, you know, you birthed them, So you could clearly educate.
Yeah, that's a bizarre. Yeah, because if that were true, then why would we have teacher certification in literally every state? Why would it just be like, oh, have you ever had kids?
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
I've had kids. I'm fucking, you're a teacher. Welcome, yeah. Motherfucker. Come on in. Don't waste years of your life on education. Just be a parent. That's all it takes. All it takes is good intentions. I mean, it's so fucking incredibly foolish that we allow, you know, because this is it. This is, to me, this is child abuse.
Yeah, you wouldn't let somebody who, just because they're a parent, fucking perform surgery on their kid.
Sure. Oh, I know what's best. I know how to stop that heart murmur.
Yeah.
A sledgehammer. Like, wait a minute. That's 100% effective.
I wonder what kind of classes they'll be teaching. Like, you know, because they don't want to teach because of the rapture. Well, maybe they could teach, like, rapture-themed classes. Like, you could watch, you know, the entire series of The Walking Dead as, like, instructional videos. There's, like, a sewing human skin class.
It should all be prepper shit.
That's exactly because, yeah. How to get the marrow out of a bone or something.
Right. It should be, like, you know, how to grow fucking vegetables hydroponically in a 55-gallon drum in your basement while fighting off fucking mutated zombie hordes or whatever.
How to uncover a hoard of, you know, fucking food that's been buried under the ground.
Everything should be horrible, though. Everything should be, it's like the whole time, if you're the dad and you're teaching the kids and it's like, all right. Now, here's the situation. You fucking explain to them what they have to do, and it's some fucking horrifying survival apocalyptic chore. And the whole time, you have to shoot guns just over their head. Just to keep it real, you know, just for a real simulation.
You gotta, maybe, like, take your family chihuahuas and put, like, wings and armor on them so they could be the little locusts that ride up with, like...
And then they have to eat them. Then they have to eat them for food. All right, it's Wednesday. Pick a pet and eat it. Shut up.
I love muffins. Not the actual muffins. My cat muffins.
I don't even know what muffins taste like.
I think this is exactly what you get, though. You know, when you put, like you said, unqualified people in charge of stuff like this. You know, nobody's watching them either. Because as I recall, Texas is one of those places where you're just like, oh, you're homeschooling? Good luck.
Well, and that's really at the heart of this argument is that people complain, like the family members complain. The family members were like, yeah, I know they say they're homeschooling them, but they're not actually schooling them at all anywhere. Like, the location of their neglect is not relevant. Yeah. It's just educational neglect. And so, you know, they were basically ordered like, hey, well, we want to see what you guys have been doing. You know, show us that you've been actually accomplishing something. And then they fought back like, well, fucking, we believe in Jesus, so we shouldn't have to provide you evidence that we're educating our children. Like, how are those things even possibly tangentially related to each other?
That's demonic, everybody. It is absolutely demonic.
This next story comes from Catholic News Agency. And I got to tell you, Cecil, I admire the efficiency.
Oh, yeah.
Help from above. Priest in a helicopter exorcises Italian town. Because this priest performed an aerial exorcism of the Italian seaside town of, can't pronounce it, in response to a spree of church-targeted thefts and vandalisms. And somebody said, quote, if Satan exists, he has taken control of, can't pronounce it, the group said in a statement. There was nothing left to try but the exorcist. Nothing left. Not like quality police work, for example. There was nothing left to do. What it would do? I don't know. Put a priest in a helicopter. We're all out of ideas.
He was the priest was also dressed like Rambo when he flew in, when he was helicoptered, and he had a bandolier of holy water that was around his chest.
He was also hog hunting from the helicopter. Like, he just
short bow that shot explosive crosses.
I can see the demons from up here. They're on your six.
You know, it turns out there's actually a lot of similarities between Jesus and Rambo. They're both shirtless, right? Yeah. They both have awkward long hair. They're both bloody a lot. They both flip a lot of things over.
Right.
And they both almost die for a cause and then are miraculously saved. So I think that there's there's a lot of similarities.
It's very, and Jesus probably, when he gave the Sermon on the Mount, the whole time.
I can't understand him. I can't.
Sounds punch drunk.
Somebody's like, what did he say? I don't know. I'm just going to go ahead and write this stuff down instead because that guy doesn't make any sense.
They both are ripped, too. You know what I mean? They're kind of ripped.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, the new Jesus is fucking just straight ripped.
They both wear weird headbands. One is a crown
weird
of thorns.
Headbands.
People are fucking sitting in a helicopter.
Yep.
And what they should do is, you know, when they put out those fires and they get like suck up all that water, they should do that with holy water. They should like fill up with holy water and then put out the city like a forest fire with it.
Dude, wouldn't it be even better to just fly at 30,000 feet and bless the clouds themselves that rain upon people? Now it's all holy water.
Aren't they God's clouds anyway?
Right? That's a good point.
Jeez,
well, maybe
man.
Some of them are, maybe thunder clouds are Satan's clouds.
That's right.
Because they're
yeah.
all angry, like, yeah. Angry clouds. Those anger clouds up there, those aren't Jesus's clouds. Jesus wouldn't make thunder unless he was mad at you, in which case he would use thunder and lightning and rain to drown literally the entire world.
Or if he was Rambo, he would bring down the thunder.
It's so crazy. I want to read one other part of this because this sounds just like teenagers. The best part about this is it's fucking teenagers are just screwing around, and the local police have like evidently no ability to catch vandalizing teenagers. The area has long been plagued with violence from organized crime. Incidentally, no exorcism to rid the town of violence, right? The mob is fucking shooting people or bombing or doing whatever. Organized crime, violence, nothing. But a series of thefts from churches, desecration of graves, crosses being turned upside down, and my favorite, statues of Mary being tossed over cliffs. That's teenagers, man. Listen.
Yeah. Oh,
that's what
yeah.
14-year-old boys do. That's just what they do. My buddy and I, when I was a teenage boy, from like, I'm going to guess it was probably from the age of like 14 to 16 or 17, we just went, we would call each other on the phone and be like, you want to go vandalizing?
You didn't even have a code word for it.
We didn't call it anything else. We'd just be like, yes, let's go vandalizing. My buddy that I would go out with, he bought from a mail order catalog, he bought a set of leather gloves that were sap gloves. So they had lead sewn into the knuckles on them. Under the leather
gloves.
That's
like from like an old ninja magazine or something.
Right. It was just from a mail order catalog. And like I would go out with my buddy and we would just break everything we could find. We'd steal mailboxes. It was literally just vandalizing. There was nothing else to it. There was no plan. There was no rhyme or reason. It was just bored, stupid teenagers being assholes. Had somebody given us this, like if there was a statue of Mary and we happen to have access to a cliff, I fucking 100% guarantee we would have thrown that shit off a cliff.
You see, there are demons in the earth. Read Matthew, Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. There are demons all over where, and Jesus cast out demons when he walked the earth.
So this story is from cal.catholic, which is California Catholic Daily. Exorcist disturbed by new California law. This is actually an interview with two exorcists, Father Gary Thomas and Father Vince Lampert. And this is actually a really hilarious interview because I think these fuckers are serious.
That is this interview is so awesome. I do want to mention, though, at one point they say they've trained under a master exorcist in Rome.
That.
And the first thing I thought of was like the Kill Bill movies where like, what are they like fucking like holding a cross out, repeating some fucking crazy phrase. And they have to do it until their arm cramps up. And then they're trying to eat their fucking rice with their hands the whole time. He's like slapping them down. They have their final test. They have to convince like fucking Hattori Hanzo to forge a cross for them. Fucking master exorcist. Are you shitting me?
Cecil, I want you to read your favorite question and answer from this,
okay,
this interview.
All right. All right. Let me find it. Can demons read our thoughts?
That was great. Who is
Father Lampert? Demons do not know what we are thinking.
Silly goose.
They're intelligent creatures who can use their reason to deduce what we might be thinking or how we might act. God alone knows a person's mind.
That's amazing.
I love that. I love it because he's just like the demons are like, oh man, I wish I knew what he's thinking. God, I wish I knew what he's thinking. I wish he wanted to go to Quiznos with me.
Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Let me get one of these things. Do you like me? Yes or no? If I knew what you were thinking, I wouldn't have to ask.
Deduce.
With this paper.
That they use reason, though. That's my favorite part, is that they use reason
right?
to deduce. Yeah.
Those lousy demons.
I think
and their
that's a stab
using.
At reason. I think that's a stab at reason for in replacement of faith.
That's probably a good point. It probably is not accidental that they use that word, right? I like this question and answer. Because the question asks so much. So what brings about demonic involvement? What should be avoided? Father Thomas. Ouija boards, dark magic, seances, violent video
Ouija
games.
Ouija boards.
The Charlie Challenge.
Oh,
tarot
the Charlie
cards.
Challenge. I love
any
the
devices
Challenge.
That can muster some kind of spirit in any way that circumvents God.
The Charlie Challenge sounds, you know, when they do like the paprika challenge or whatever, like the cinnamon challenge. The Charlie Challenge is like you should have to eat like, I don't know, like six Charleston chews and like a
I think
it
should be like how many dicks from a guy named Charlie, you know, like it's just like you're just saying like three fucking Charlie dicks in your mouth at once.
It's like the Charlie Bukkake challenge.
It's a Charlie challenge. Look how many Charlies we stuffed in that guy.
We are challenging that young man. Challenging him.
Look at that. And Father Lamper, people may think these things are just fun and entertaining, but the truth is they're dabbling with evil and can get themselves into trouble. And Father Thomas help himself. Pornography and drugs can also be doorways to the demonic.
Can.
They're not necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the age of the pornography. If it's very young, they,
right.
Yeah.
If it's older pornography, you know, where it's like a lot of hair down there, then it's fine.
Yeah. Actually, they like the young stuff, too. So.
He says, especially certain drugs, such as meth and cocaine.
That dude is hitting a fucking bong and beating it.
He's
you kidding me?
That is his out. That is his out. He's like, especially some drugs, like the ones I don't do.
Yeah.
That's what I don't like. The drugs
Smoke
I'm not
up,
doing.
Bro.
And then he says, I like this part. He says, in some cases, curses can be placed on these in order to make them even more addictive. It's meth, motherfucker. And they're like, there's nothing you can do to make it more addictive.
What's awesome is like Walter White sitting in his RV, like doing an incantation over the meth.
He's got like a chicken with its head cut off. He's like dripping blood onto the meth. People believe this. People really believe this, man. These are people taken seriously by other human beings. Like this is not somebody who is purposely being mocked. This is not a joke. This is a leader of other people, man.
There's an end where he says, in closing, what's the best defense against the forces of evil? And one of them says prayer life, faith life, moral life, sacramental life. I guess probably that's the line that they tell. But the other one says the best defense against evil for all of us is devote ourselves to the things of God and to think about the positive aspects of life. I think he's fucking up here. The best defense is a good offense.
Right?
I think he's, like, you know.
That's what he should have said.
Go after him like fucking that guy who fucking talks about the Hulk. What's that guy's name? The fucking prayer warrior guy? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Ingalls. Go after him like Ingalls. Like fucking go after, like, you got to be a prayer warrior.
It would be great if he was like, you know what we got to do is we got to fight him like those fucking dudes from that TV show Supernatural. Do you guys watch CW? Yeah, I love CW. That's great. That's
CW?
Awesome. Yeah. Anyway, none of this shit is fucking real, you loons.
Yeah.
You loons. They talk in the beginning of this like, yeah, I've seen people levitate. Oh, yeah, you didn't think to fucking get that on camera, huh? It's just a human body defying the force of gravity. Yeah, let's not get that on film.
Yeah, literally never captured on film
right. That
it can't be disproven.
This is your
chance, buddy.
Like we live in a world where people fucking take pictures of their food every day.
Think about it this way. How many times on the internet have you seen a fight? And not just a fight, Tom. Not a fight in progress. A fight before it starts, right?
Yes, right.
The fight before it starts. People recognize the cues.
Right.
They pull their phone out.
Yep.
And they start recording.
Yeah. The cue is usually fight, fight, yeah. fight.
The thing is like, as a master exorcist,
yes.
You would think you would understand the cues of when someone is going to say fucking start floating. So you would have your phone out and be ready to record it. But instead, we just have some old dude said someone floated once.
Yep.
Cool yeah, story, bro.
To be fair, they're not master exorcists. They just trained under a master exorcist.
Right. You're right.
Maybe they're still apprenti.
When you're right, you're right, Tom.
Now, the concern, obviously, is if this isn't bottled up in San Francisco, this kind of nonsense, then it's going to be spreading across the entire fruited plain, and you're going to be going to your Burger King in Des Moines, Iowa, and you're going to have a rainbow-colored wrapper for your Whopper.
Sister, it comes from Right Wing Watch. Pat Robertson, God to destroy financial markets now that the sodomites can marry. I was waiting to destroy those financial markets.
Financial markets, yeah. It's always the financial markets. You can kind of tell where Pat Robertson, you can hit him hard. You know what I mean?
He's super worked up about, like, he spent a lot of the fucking elder years of his long...
Extra long,
long
life.
Long life. Yammering about that. He's real worried about this. Like, he's like, I don't really understand that, because he's clearly super fucking rich. So what is he so worried about?
Well, let's play his thing so we can tell exactly what he's so worried about.
We're going to force bakers to bake homosexual wedding cakes. We're going to force photographers to take pictures.
You don't have to force photographers to take pictures. That's what they do.
Oh, it's photographers.
Like, that's their job, bro.
But they're not taking pictures of
stuff.
We're
going to have to force them to take their pictures.
And we're going to force women to go into men's bathrooms and men to go into women's bathrooms. And
what?
Yeah, no one's doing that.
Where is that a thing?
No one's doing that.
Did you see this? I saw a transgender thing today that was really cool. And it said, it was something about, like, this is what would happen if this person went into these bathrooms. And it's a transgender person. It's a transgender man, right? So, guy has a beard. Big-looking dude, you know?
Sure.
Standing in a woman's john with a beard, taking a picture of himself. Because if he was to follow the specific gender, he would be in the wrong bathroom.
Sure, right.
He would be in the women's bathroom. He would be in the wrong bathroom.
Yeah.
And what they constantly talk about when they talk about the transgender issue, and we heard, how many clips have we heard about this? About this. And they say, oh, yeah, fucking, you know, you're going to have some pervy dude who is totally dressed like, you know, a man. A man, let's say, who's totally dressed, a guy who's not, doesn't look at all like a woman going into the women's bathroom.
Sure.
Because that's where he would think that he belongs. But in this case, it's the exact opposite. It's, they would look so out of place in the correct, you know, quote unquote, correct gender bathroom.
Yeah.
That it would be absurd. You would shield your kids. You'd be like, "What the fuck is happening?" You'd freak out. I know. I would freak out if I saw like a, you know, especially if it was a transgender woman who walked into the bathroom and they were supposed to be in this one because that's the correct, you know, quote unquote correct one. And it was like somebody who looked like a woman. You'd freak the fuck out. You'd be like, "What? What are you doing in here?" Well, and so they just don't understand that these people live their life as the other gender.
But they don't want to, these guys that are constantly opposing this stuff, they don't want to take into account any of the nuance. They don't want to take into account the details. Well, what fucking difference does it make? If I'm in the bathroom and somebody's in the bathroom with me, I'm like, person's in the bathroom.
And isn't it our job when we go into the bathroom to completely ignore every other human in the bathroom? Don't we already do this?
I don't understand the obsession with the bathroom that these, that like the Christian right has. Do they think that, like, when you go to a Christian like bathroom at like some big mega church, is everybody fucking in the bathroom?
Everybody's meat gazing or something.
What is happening in there?
I don't know what's happened. I don't.
I don't even like to talk to people. When I go to the We have a fucking, I don't know how it is at your work, but like we have a bathroom at work. There's fucking two urinals and there's two stalls. I fucking hate it so much when you're standing at the urinal and somebody's like, hey man, how you doing? It's like, man, shut the fuck up and go kill yourself.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk to you for even one fucking second. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to fucking talk to you. Don't you understand the privacy zone of the urinal?
I have one person at work who does that, who will talk. There's another guy. There's three stalls, right? And everybody will either go to the one on the far left or the one on the far right, except for one dude who always pisses in the middle one. And I always, every time I walk in there, the first thing I want to say to him is like, bold move. like, but I never do it, but I always want to be like, bold move, sir. Bold move. But he always pisses in the center one. And it's like, dude, just go to the fucking one on the left or the one on the right. I didn't want to stand near you. That's why I don't understand. I just can't wrap my head around the bathroom obsession they have.
I don't get it.
Because, man, I don't pay attention to other humans. I pretend I'm the only one in there.
Right? Look, there was a guy that I used to work with. No shit. I would be in a stall taking a fucking smash at the bathroom at work. And there was this guy who would walk in and be like, hey, is that you, Tom?
Oh,
and he would fucking start talking to me while I'm dumping. Like, I'm in there fucking taking a shit, trying to pretend that nobody else
shut
is
up.
In the fucking room. And that guy would fucking try to have a conversation with me.
I wear headphones in the bathroom when I'm taking a dump.
Dude, that's a smart move.
Yeah, I just wear headphones.
That
I just
way
put
you could be in your own fucking world.
I'm just in my own world, and I'm fucking like ripping it out. Like, who cares, bro?
Dude, I used to get like, I used to wait. If somebody came in, I'd stop all activity.
Yeah.
And be silent.
You'd freeze up.
And like wait
it's
for like, them to leave and then be
like stage fright and then you'd let it burst
right,
afterwards.
Alone with my thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, now I don't give a shit.
You just like rip that
I'm
deuce.
Just like someone
rip
walks in like
deuce.
Boom. Drop it out. I don't care.
Drop the bass.
But I also am not fucking making small talk with somebody.
That's awesome.
While I'm like, hey man, are those your ankles?
Shoes. I love going to the bathroom and someone will be on their phone and on the shitter at the same time. I flush the toilet like four times every time that happens. I'll run the loudest hair dryer. I'll cough. I'll just make as much noise as I can. Dude. When they're in the shitter on the phone. Cause I'm thinking, not only are you rude to me, right? Because now you're fucking like capturing my fucking piss sounds or whatever.
Those but are my private piss sounds.
Also, you're rude to the person who you're talking to. Like, that's just rude. So I'm just going to make sure they know. So even if you told them at the beginning of your fucking conversation that I missed, that you're like, yeah, dude, I'm fucking ripping out a deuceage. That's cool. I'm just going to remind them of the fact that you are in the shitter.
We're going to blur the identity of the sexes because of this stuff. I mean, it's insanity. But you know the term sodomy. Sodom was the place destroyed by the judgment of God. And they call these things sodomy.
Well, actually, the whole world was that, right? Yeah. I mean, it's not just Sodom. He kind of did that to the whole world first.
This stuff is sodomy. And we have enshrined sodomy in the United States Constitution, said it is a constitutional right to commit sodomy. And now it's a constitutional right for sodomites to marry each other. That's what it's in the recent Supreme Court decision. So what are they going to do in Houston? Well, they're going to go to the polls and find out. Maybe Ed Young and his group, he's got a huge church and a lot of people down there, and we'll see what happens. But it's interesting, though, isn't it? Terry, I mean, can you imagine, I mean, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we see this in America.
See what in America?
Oh,
gay people?
This. Yeah, gay people just, you know, walking around. Being gay.
Because, you know.
Back in 1995.
There was no gay people back in the
80s and 90s. No, there were no gay
90s.
People in 95. Or no 30 years ago in 85.
Yeah, it's true.
When there was people walking around.
The thing is when he says 20, 30 years ago, what he means is the 50s.
Yeah, I know, right? That's the best part. He can't come out and say that. Like, can you imagine this? 65 years ago?
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Of a sudden, people would zone out.
Well, you know, the scripture also says there will come a day when what's right will be seen
as
wrong and what's wrong will be seen as right. And we seem to be right there.
And you can pick pretty much any day you want for that.
Sure.
It turns out. Yeah. Anytime anybody fucking says anything that's against what you believe, you can just pick that as the day.
Well, here's how it works. The stuff I don't like is wrong.
Yep.
Right? And the stuff I do like is right. I mean, it's just, it's nonsense. You can't even listen to this
shit. Well, it's super easy. It's like, oh, you wrote something that fucking is absolutely going to come true? Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you give me some, like, some real specifics, not any of this generalization.
Yeah, tell me that the fucking, that the Supreme Court was going to fucking legalize, you know, marriage, same-sex marriage in the United States, in the United States of America.
And give me a month and a year.
Yeah, point. And, you know, shit, just say United States of America in the goddamn Bible somewhere. Yeah.
Right? Right? Predict the North American continent.
Yeah.
Can you do that for me?
Yeah, exactly. Can you predict anything over here.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, here you are. Here I've got this book. It's 2,000 years old. I'm supposed to think that it has the divine word of God. Nowhere in it does it predict the discovery of the entire, quote, new world. That's North America and South America, actually. It's all of it.
It's half
the earth.
It's anything over here.
Half of the earth. It didn't predict, like, harnessing electricity or, I mean, it didn't predict anything.
It predicted
literally
nothing. Yeah.
It's about what you do with goats. I mean, it's a goat book.
Exactly. It's how fucking wet your bull needs to be
before you
sacrifice
it, right?
Well, having their conscience seared with a hot iron but the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against, is what the Bible says. The wrath of God is revealed against this stuff. So I don't want the wrath of God to hit this country. It's a great country. I'd like to see America continue strong, but this is one way of weakening it. First of all, we're going to have this financial collapse. We're setting up for a massive financial collapse, and I think...
Financial collapse?
It's a financial collapse.
We're shutting up for a...
Look out for that financial collapse.
Wow. Yeah, the Dow closed at 17,800 and change. Oh, my God, the financial collapse.
It's the financial collapse.
It's
going to
happen
much.
Unless we continue growing. Look, I agree with Pat Robertson. I really do. I think that there will be another financial collapse.
Absolutely.
Because that's how markets work.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, markets always work that way. There's booms and there's busts and there's everything in between. And that's just how financial markets work. If you don't give me a timeline... Dude, I'm 100% on your side. At some point, there will be a financial collapse.
Yeah. The only difference between us is that I don't think that some fucking sky daddy is manipulating the markets in some way, in some sort of weird fucking angelic insider trading.
Exactly.
Want to contact the guys? Go to dissonancepod.com to get links to their Google+, Facebook, and Twitter accounts. If you want to contact them directly, send an email to dissonance.podcast@gmail.com. Or you can call and leave a message at 740-74-DOUBT. That's 740-743-6828. Do you want to support the show? Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/dissonancepod. Or click the link on the podcast homepage, and you can donate to the production of Cognitive Dissonance on a per-episode basis. If you can't spare any money, take a second to give us a 5-star review on iTunes or Stitcher, or spread the word about the show. We want to send a big, heartfelt glory hole to all the patrons and people who rate us. You fucking rock.
So this story comes from Right Wing Watch. Gordon Klingenschmidt has a scientific method, Cecil.
Scientific.
That proves the existence of God. I found this.
This guy is fucking
compelling.
Amazing. All right, let's listen to fucking Gordon Klingenschmidt talk about his scientific method.
Let's talk for a moment about a couple of things. First of all, evidence. You want evidence of God? I can give you evidence of God. In fact, I'll show you God. All you've got to do is repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and invite Him to come into your heart. Now, this is a scientific method. I'm giving you... Step A, you repent.
What?
Step B, you believe. Step C, you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior. Follow that scientific method, and I guarantee you will see Jesus Christ.
All right, I'm going to do it. Okay, ready?
All right.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah.
I repent. I accept. So the first one is step A, I have to repent. So yeah. I repent. Okay.
All right.
Step B, I have to believe, and then I have to. So I'm going to believe. Okay, give me a second.
Yeah.
All right, I'm there. Okay, I'm believing.
You already?
Step C, it's real quick.
Oh, okay.
Step C, you and, because nobody else bothered to put any thought into it. Step C, you invite Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your Lord and Savior. So let me do that. I invite Jesus Christ to come into my heart as Lord and Savior. So now, as long as I did that, I can see, holy shit.
Is it working?
Holy shit, I think I see Jesus.
What's he look like?
Oh, no, that's my cat. Forget it.
No, yeah, no, it's not.
Mr. Whiskers? No, it's just my cat. So.
Oh, yeah, so it didn't work,
I don't
huh?
see Jesus anywhere. It's weird. Is that like how you summon him? That's kind of like an incantation, isn't it? Where you're just like, have to do these three things, then you could see Jesus.
I mean, there are steps in his
sure
method.
And that's the scientific method. That's how it works, Tom. If there's steps, it's scientific.
Yeah. That has almost nothing to do with define a question, gather information, resources, and observations. Form an explanatory hypothesis.
I like where's your explanatory hypothesis?
I know, right? Test the hypothesis by performing an experiment and collecting data in a reproducible manner. Analyze the data. Interpret the data and draw conclusions that serve as a starting point for new hypothesis. Publish results and retest.
Oh,
let's
compare
that to Klingenschmidt. Yeah. Step
repent.
A.
Step A.
You repent.
Step B, believe.
Yeah.
And step C, invite Jesus Christ to come in your heart as your Lord and Savior.
That is not how you science.
I just think he trimmed down the process. That's all.
He got rid of. Wait a minute.
He got rid of all of it.
All the steps.
And then replaced it with his new steps.
Right.
So.
Yeah. He replaced it with be dogmatic.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, There's more of this, too.
I'm kind of curious where he goes from here.
You say, show me some evidence. I'm saying he will actually come into your heart, actually rule your life, and take the scales from your eyes, and you will experience God in your own heart.
Scales from my eyes.
Yeah, you got scaly eyes. I didn't want to tell you. Wow. I felt like it was rude.
Jeez.
All 20 years I've known you. I didn't want to say.
I've had these cataracts forever.
Bro, you've got scaly eyes. I don't know.
Bro. You got to take the scales from your
eyes. Just get them off of there, man.
Scaly eyes.
You got scaly eyes. You're kind of got like a lizard face
thing. I got a lizard face eye thing going on. Yeah.
You're like, I'm just saying, Cecil, you're like a bearded dragon.
What's neat is I can see behind me. So.
you can change colors with your environment.
Whenever there's a spider around, I don't have to smash it. I could just eat it.
If my environment, it's actually true of me, if my environment is bulbous.
Yeah. Yeah, the reason why I have a fisheye lens in my eyes is because my eyes are fat. Yeah.
My eyes have diabetes. Are you kidding?
Now you say, well, that's not fair because I don't want to follow the scientific method and get to these. I don't want to go through steps A, repent, and step B, believe, and step C, invite Jesus to rule your heart. I don't want to follow that method. Then you cannot say that you have followed the method that works.
I just did it. It didn't work. Like, I literally just did it.
Yeah, but you didn't. I don't think you believed.
I did believe for that mere second, Tom. I believed.
The way to get to belief is if you believe. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? Like,
I think that's what he's saying.
If the problem is like, hey, if you want evidence, here's what I can give you with evidence. But first you have to believe it before you get the evidence. Well, then it's not evidence anymore. Then it ceases to become evidential. It's not meaning. Why would I, if I already believed it, I would have no interest in evidence. I'd be like, fucking evidence has nothing to do with this. I also like, too, that, by the way, that I have to repent before I believe. That seems backwards.
That's interesting. Yeah, that does seem. You would think that you would have to, because if I don't believe ahead of time, I'm just like, yeah, I repent, whatever.
Yeah, my repentance wouldn't be meaningful, right? What am I repenting to? What entity am I giving up my repentance to if I've not yet begun the believing process?
I think that a lot of these people, including this guy, have a hard time believing that people don't believe in it.
Yeah, I think that that's the case, right?
I think that they think that people aren't critically thinking about it. They're just doing it to be subversive or doing it to be countercultural or doing it because they're angry in some way. They don't like the rules, so they want to push back. But they think that everyone believes in it.
Yeah, or that there's a switch you can flip where you're just like, okay, enough with the daddy issues. It's time to get real.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there is nothing normal about being a sodomite. There is no life that will come out of a rectum. You cannot produce life. It's only death. Every time, there's nothing in a rectum except waste, refuse, and death.
It's a story also from Right Wing Watch. Kevin Swanson, God gave gay people AIDS as an act of kindness. Says man who cannot define kindness.
Oh man, this is great. This is some good stuff. So let's play Kevin Swanson. We're not going to play this whole clip. We're just going to play part of it. It's like 5 minutes long, so we're only going to play a couple minutes of this. But this is Kevin Swanson on his radio program.
Nevertheless, her bias seems to be against those conservatives that would find it somewhat of an issue that homosexuals receive government funding. She says most people qualify for public assistance programs for the HIV antiviral medications. It's approximately $60,000 a year for the cocktail for HIV patients. We're talking 1.2 million of these, meaning that I'd guess it'd be somewhere around $60 billion given especially to those preferred patients who have contracted AIDS because of their drug habit or their sexual proclivities. And so those who have this specific disease are especially favored by the government and given a fair amount of support for their homosexual activity and the disease that seems to accommodate their activity.
Can I just talk about how it sounds like he just hates them so much?
Yep.
I mean, I don't know if you're picking up on the way he's talking. Maybe he's just an asshole and that's just how he talks. But it sounds like he is having a real hard time even talking about it and that he's so disgusted by it. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah, he does seem to be avoiding purposely creating this group of people which he can refer to sort of obliquely so as to define or reduce their humanity, you know?
Yeah.
And now, it turns out that there is something in the Word of God concerning God's retribution to their sexual habit. We find that in Romans 1:27, where it refers to homosexuality. This is the famous passage given by the Apostle Paul concerning homosexuality. Men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another. Now, what does that mean? That means they no longer had sexual relations with women, but they turned to men. They were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men. And here's the key phrase from Romans 1:27, by the way, not referred to in the World Magazine article, receiving in themselves the due penalty for their error. So there it does appear that there may be something of the judgment of God that is retributed towards them and assigned to or connected to or correlated with their sexual activity.
And it took 2,000 years.
Right.
So, like but even
now hold on. Now, to be fair, it took 2,000 years, and it also infects heterosexuals and intravenous drug users, too.
Oh, right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's the thing. It's like, what about, like, all those kids that are born to AIDS-stricken mothers? Like, you know, like to talk about AIDS as if it's this, like, you know, disease that only afflicts the homosexual population— is just a rewriting of the history of that disease.
Either that or you just didn't pay attention to anything past like 1985.
Right. Right. Like you're just ignoring the AIDS epidemic that has swept across the African continent. Like we're just totally going to ignore that. Or is that just God's just like that indiscriminate? He's like, fuck it, I don't give a shit. I fucking put down a plague for gay people, and I don't give a shit that it just destroys the lives of other people. And it doesn't hit all gay people, and it's, you know, not really that effective of a plague if you happen to have money.
Yeah, exactly. The more money you have, the least effective it is. Look at fucking Magic Johnson.
Right. Well, I mean, look at the thing is, AIDS isn't a death sentence.
A long time ago. No, it's not a death sentence if you have money.
AIDS is fine. Like, if you live in a first world country and you've got money for drugs, like, fucking, I can reduce my, I can probably, if I catch it early enough, I can probably reduce my viral load to be almost non-infectious or genuinely non-infectious to other people. It's, I mean, as plagues go, you could do a better job. Why wouldn't it be like a gay, I mean, I'm being kind of serious. Like, why would it be like gay rabies, which is like 100% deadly?
Yeah. And you die within like 20 minutes of sex.
Right. You're just like, I fucking put that in the dude's butt. You're just dead.
You foam somewhere. I don't know where. You're just like, you foam somewhere and then you die.
I'm foaming at the dick.
I'm foaming out the poop. Uh-oh. Right?
Yeah. Done and done.
Yeah.
Then at least you'd be able to get behind that, you know, be like, well, fucking seems like there's something there.
Yeah, right. You'd be like, well, we need to look into that.
Okay, that seems, that wasn't happening.
None of those things ever happened.
Right. Instead,
in the history of like, and you know, the thing is like, it's not that God has just suddenly turned around and been like, you know what I really don't like is the gays. Yeah. You know what? Guys, I know I've been going here, you know, you guys rewrote my works, you know, about a couple thousand years ago, but we're going to go with no gays now in the 2000s.
Yeah. I know it took me literally two millennia, generation after generation after endless fucking iteration of generations. And I was pretty quiet about this. Okay, but now I'm going to speak up. And I'm going to speak up obliquely by this disease. I'm gonna, like, it's just, this would have been a story worth telling 35 years ago.
Do you think that people look back like Pat Robertson or this Jagoff, they look back at the plague, the Black Death or whatever it was, you know, that killed, what is it, like fucking half the population of the world or whatever it was,
like
back
a third
in the
of Europe
day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if they look back on that and say, I wonder if they have reasons when they look back on that and say, oh, well, that was because of X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, some other immorality. Like,
yeah,
I wonder
if they have something that they've already picked out that they're like, oh, well, we can cherry pick that because it's, you know, 800 years ago.
I wonder, man. I wonder if, like, that requires too much breadth of historical knowledge, right? And too much interest in the reality of the diseases that have plagued history. Like, you know, because if you were going to look at the world and say, well, I want to find a biblical cause for, let's say, smallpox, right? Smallpox is responsible, I think, for the death of a billion people before its eradication. How would you do that when it seemed to strike, like, at random? It just struck everybody, you know? It's too inconvenient. I think they focus on things like HIV because it seems convenient as long as they only tell a third of the story.
Exactly. As long as they only tell a part of it.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
So this story comes from the Raw story. Texas Christians lament freedom of religion while protesting Church of Lucifer opening. This is great. So Christians in Spring, Texas are flipping out over the opening of the Church of Lucifer. So the Church of Lucifer is just, I mean, it's like, it's a joke church, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Church of the Sub-Genius.
Sure.
It's a joke church. It's a spoof. It's a thumb in the eye of the right-wing nuts. And the best part is the right-wing nuts can't figure out that they're being mocked. And so they protest it, unironically.
I know.
It's fucking delicious.
Well, and then they say things like, this is amazing, and I can't imagine that this isn't like a fucking
a plant,
a troll,
yeah,
of some sort. This person says, this is what you get when we have freedom of religion.
This is it, guys. This is why we don't want it. This is why we want to have our lockdown theocracy bullshit.
That's amazing.
Because otherwise, people will have different ideas. Scary ideas. Ideas that make me uncomfortable.
My favorite part of this is, it says the church had been vandalized ahead of its opening. Someone with a chainsaw hacked off a large tree branch and sent it crashing into the building's roof. And I thought, you know, you are in hillbilly country when people are throwing branches through your building.
That's like, that's some chimpanzee shit.
That's some fucking hee-haw motherfucking shit. You know, you don't have a bottle with a fucking bit of gas and a fucking rag, you idiot. The fuck? Can't you vandalize a property and burn it down like a proper human instead of fucking sawing something off of something else and throwing it into something?
Well, and how brazen, too. God. Like, you're clearly not worried about, law enforcement happening by. Because it's like a chainsaw's quiet, like, sneak out in the middle of the night. Quiet. We're going to vandalize.
No, come on. Don't be ridiculous. They have silencers for their chainsaws down there.
Chainsaws?
It's like stealth chainsaws. Yeah, a stealth chainsaw is called a saw. So we want to thank our most recent patrons. Cabs the size of cantaloupes. And I got to say, the picture for Cabs the size of cantaloupes is awesome. Jillian, Azriel, Venture Free McGee.
That's great.
Cecil Top, Tom Bottom.
Oh.
I changed it. It's Tom Top, Cecil Bottom.
I'm unhappy both ways.
Me too. It's not neither way. And the thing is like, Tom Top, Tom can't climb me. There's no way
I'm getting...
He needs to be airlifted, and there's nothing that can airlift him. I'm too big to climb, and Tom's too big to get on top.
No, it's like fucking Mount Everest.
It is.
You know, it's not going to happen.
It's like two Krakens having sex. Michael, Michelle, Troy, and Jason, thank you all so very much. And we want to mention that we did hit the actual the number for 250. So Tom and I are recording hopefully this Sunday. So we're hoping late Sunday there will be a patron-only show. We're still looking at what we're going to do. We don't think we're going to do a movie review this time, but we do think that we are going to take some of the suggestions. A lot of people seem to keep saying, do some stuff that you guys don't normally do on the show.
Yeah.
And so we may just bullshit about other stuff instead, but we'll keep you posted. We're going to you should have it by actually, you might even have it before this show posts for the rest of everybody. Now, the patrons will probably hear this before, but everyone else, the patron-only show should probably come out before the actual show hits. Tom, we got a message from Jennifer about the virginity certificate.
Yeah, Jennifer had some interesting points. She said, I see one good reason why a doctor would do such an examination, referring to a virginity test. It may be their only chance to give the women a brief overview of sex ed. I couldn't find the original article I saw, but it's about halfway down here. She quotes it. Quote, that's why Torres says most doctors take a different approach and they're asked to perform tests for virginity. What I do and what I think most reasonable physicians do is I use the premarital exam for the sex talk, Torres said. I use it because my patients, and I actually believe them, have not had any sort of sexual activity. They're jumping off their cliff on the wedding night, and so I use the time to talk about consent, active communication, birth control, and exploring each other's bodies instead of diving right into penis and vagina sex. Women walk away from those conversations about consent and desire, Torres said, with much more information than the knowledge they already had about their own virginity. My patients will look at me like, I wish somebody had ever told me that, she said. I'm the first person talking to them about this. I thought that was pretty great, actually. I thought that's kind of awesome. If that's really what doctors are doing, I guess I'm shocked that there's a prevalence of this.
We have a message from Elvis, and Elvis left us he gave us a well, we'll just let you listen to it.
Dick and balls were used, by golly, fa la 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 la. Virgin birth is utter folly, fa la 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 la. Fast away religion passes, fa la 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 la. Kick their motherfucking asses, fa la 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 la, a long black cock.
That's awesome.
I love it. It's a little early for Christmas carols, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Thank you, Elvis. I hope I get a new one. Maybe he'll do like the 12 days of Christmas. He just sends a new carol every week. So we had asked Marsh and Andy if they could use Minge in a sentence. And Marsh and Andy, being proper Brits, could not.
No. They were not able to actually. Yeah. They sidestepped.
But Jonathan and Gemma, is it Gemma or Gemma?
Well, they're in the UK, so it's impossible to know.
Yeah, because it would be Cecil over there. Well,
right,
so
yeah. It's just, however it is, it's pronounced wrong. It's probably emphasis on all the wrong syllables.
Maybe she's a grandma, like Gemma.
Right.
You know, like you say.
I'm going to assume it's Gemma because I've watched Sons of Anarchy, and it's Gemma.
Okay, Sons Gemma. Fair enough. Yeah. So Jonathan and Gemma say, this is what it would sound like if you were to say Minge in a sentence. So I'm going to try to read it. Hey, lads, I shagged this bird last night, and fuck me, her minge was wetter than an otter's pocket. admittedly, an otter's pocket is pretty wet. I love how American I just said that, too, by the way. There's no way anyone would ever say that American.
Right.
But the translation is, Tom, do you want to read the translation?
Sure. I say, fellows, I had sexual intercourse with a young lady this previous evening. And my goodness, her vagina was extremely well lubricated.
Super awesome. Thank you,
Jonathan. I'm going to use wetter than an otter's pocket fucking like 100 times a day.
That's going to be great.
That is an outrageously delightful sentence.
We got a message from Jeff, and Jeff says he's from Tennessee, and he started talking about Jesus Camp, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't seen Jesus Camp, you should watch Jesus Camp. I don't know if it's still available on Netflix. I know it was for a very long time. It's a great film. Really one of those shocking movies where you watch it and you just can't believe that these things are real. It almost feels like a Poe movie where you're just shocked that these people actually do these things. Yeah. But he says at the end of the email, he says, I loved it when that crazy bitch said if Harry Potter had happened in the Old Testament times, he would have been stoned to death. She does realize Harry Potter's a fictional character, right? I love that. It's so funny because people, they say that shit. You're just like, well, that's not a person. Like, that's a fictional person.
You want to be like, Harry Potter didn't happen.
So we got a message, Tom, from Sarah about some BB gun safety.
Yeah, this is crazy.
I want to read part of this. Sarah says that she's playing airsoft. Says, well, normally we would wear masks and goggles, and I was 16 and thought I was invincible, so I was only wearing my goggles one day, and I got shot point blank in the mouth with my own gun, which I had borrowed to someone. Long story short, I now have a fake tooth.
Wow.
Holy shit. That sucks so bad.
I've never played airsoft. I had no idea they were tooth shooting out strong. I had no idea.
I wonder what the draw to airsoft over paintball would be, because paintball seems like you would be able to like tell when someone was hit. Airsoft doesn't feel like that. I think
it's because the airsoft guns look more real.
I think that
really is the thing. It's the look and feel of an airsoft. Have you ever held one of those things?
Yeah they look very real,
man. They're just like, it's like feels like a real gun, like seems like a real gun in a lot of ways. Like, they're awful close.
So, Tom, there's another person who dislikes the Amish almost as much as you.
Yeah, that's impossible to dislike them anywhere near as much as I, but I appreciate this from Katie. She says, I also hate the Amish. I travel for work a lot to Amish country in Pennsylvania. One morning we had to go to Costco, and there were these weird little shack things in the Costco parking lot. I was confused, having been to many Costcos across many states, and I asked my coworkers what was going on, and they told me that they are buggy houses for the Amish buggies. So the Amish, with their fucking button-only clothes, get into their horse-powered carriages and mosey on down, old-timey style, to the local fucking Costco so they can buy in bulk. So, yeah, Costco is ye oldie store of choice.
Ye oldie! I love it.
Apparently.
That's awesome. It's funny, too, because they only take Discover, and that's the only credit card that the Amish can have, Discover card.
That's it.
Speaking of Amish credit cards, we have a message from Christina, and she says that at Amish markets, at the market, you know, just the farmer's market, if there's an Amish person, if she pays cash, the guy takes the cash. But if she pays credit, you go next door and swipe the money, the credit, and then the guy who's next door in the stall next door gives the money to the person.
That's
the
insane.
Amish person.
Yeah, it's just this is like that. It's just lying to get around the rules. You know, like if they're doing this for religious purposes, I mean, aren't they just circumventing the rule? Isn't right. that all it is? It's like tricking God helper, through paperwork.
It's that helper monkey for the Jews right. on the Sabbath.
It's the Sharia lending where you pretend it's not interest. It's just exactly. fees that adds up to interest that you pay compounded over time. It's the same thing.
I was so confused by that Sharia lending thing. I thought it was a reverse mortgage. I didn't know. All those Muslims wound up with heaven. Well, that's how it works, I guess.
I gave them all the benefit of the doubt. I ain't reading all that paperwork.
We got a message from Devin who was basically sent us a rant about social justice warriors. And I wanted to touch on a couple things that Devin talks about. One, he says, you can't tell me that you're part of the greater atheist movement and you're unaware of the recent Thunderfoot Laughing Witch saga. First thing I will tell you is, yes, I will. And secondly, I'm not part of the greater atheist movement. I'm not part of any atheist movement. I'm just a guy who has a podcast. I don't consider myself a driver of any sort of any atheist. I tell people jokes about news items. Yeah. I'm not a greater atheist movement person. The other thing that Devin says is he talks about how he sort of passes off certain people. He specifically mentions Rebecca Watson in here. And says that person says Rebecca Watson, and he says I don't know who this is, Anna. I can't even pronounce the name. Sarkeesians, Jonathan McIntosh and PZ Myers of the world. People who are so toxic they pollute the good name of progressivism and progressive activism. I would not pass off Rebecca Watson as useless or not having anything to say. And I think that's what we're getting at here. You may not like Rebecca Watson. You may disagree with many of Rebecca Watson's stances. But if you watch Rebecca Watson talk about somebody like Deepak Chopra or Ghosts or, ESP, trust me, you're going to watch her and you're going to agree with her.
Yep.
You're going to watch her and you're going to think, man, she's right on. So you may not agree with her on everything. And that's okay. It's okay not to agree with everybody on everything. I don't agree with CJ Werlman on everything. I mean, I agree with CJ Werlman probably on very little.
Yep.
But there is things that he posts that I'm like, yeah, absolutely straight, spot on, bro. Absolutely spot on. So the fact is that What I'd like to see people do, and I think this is just a way to be more honest, and you don't have to. You can fucking hate these people, be whatever, do whatever you want. I don't care. I just feel like it's lazy of me. I'm not going to say this to you. You can think however you want. But I think it's lazy of me to brand a whole group of people and think I can't learn anything from them or they don't have anything of worth to say. I think that, even there's sometimes Tom and I will be listening to Pat Robertson say something. And we'll say, fuck, he's right on. Absolutely right on. I'm not going to deny that the guy is right on sometimes just because I don't like most of the shit he says. And I also think, too, especially when people are pretty much in the same camp as you, it's difficult to read something or see something that one of these people writes and not automatically think, if you read something for Rebecca Watson, you wouldn't think automatically, why do I disagree with this? I think that's a bad mindset to come into things with, to walk in and say, why do I disagree with this? Now, when it comes to, where Tom and I find these stories and things like that, they're already sort of set in that motion, right? Like fucking the Raw story and Right Wing Watch. I mean, those people have already picked out the particular moments of Gordon Klingenschmidt's show that we're going to disagree with. But I guarantee if I watched all of Gordon Klingenschmidt's show, he's going to say some things I'm going to agree with. I'm going to be like, yeah, he's right. Yep, that's true. Even if it's just fucking the sky is blue or
right,
something,
right.
There's going to be something he's going to say that I'm going to be like, oh, okay, maybe he's right about that. Or maybe that requires me to think about this more. I just feel like it's super easy just to throw people away and just say, oh, yeah, well, I just disagree with that entire movement and I don't have to pay attention to anything any of those people say.
Yeah, it reminds me of when I was in school. I got an English degree, and when I was in school, one of the things that I learned early on was to examine or evaluate the text without any relevance to its author first, Because if you go into something with a preconception based on the author, oh, I know the author is a, you know, and this was pointed out to me particularly with a particular series of short stories, where we read a short story, and if you went into that knowing ahead of time that the author was a black woman, it was almost guaranteed you were going to read certain stories in a certain light. And that colored your understanding of the material. And it's kind of the same concept. Like, you know, what Rebecca Watson or any of these people say is either valid or not valid, regardless of the fact that I may disagree with all of their politics or I may disagree with the way that they espouse their views. I mean, the validity of an argument has no relationship to the author of the argument, and they need to be evaluated separately if we're really going to, you know, be critical and be good critical thinkers.
And you know, another thing too, I just want to mention this real quick. Like, both sides are guilty of a lot of pigheadedness, in my opinion. I mean, you know, you want to talk about how the side that you sort of represent is fighting against how the other side is doxing people and outing people and being, you know, not using logic. Man, I'll tell two sides of a story. The first time we got crazy, and I'm not attacked, but like tons of people sent in a bunch of messages, shitty messages, was the first time we had DJ Grothy on the show. I think it's the only time we had DJ Grothy on. And a bunch of people didn't like, and the reason why they didn't like him is because he has, he's on the one side. He's on the one side of this argument. And so people immediately started leaving tons of comments about,
right.
Oh, it was super racist when he said gypsy. It was super, oh my God, what, how do you even listen to this guy? And they just listed all this stuff. They tried to take apart anything he had to say, even though all the stuff he had to say was really, really, really interesting and really on point,
yep.
Explaining how they handle, how that group of people, that are involved in the, you know, the bilking of people through their, you know, through pretending to be psychics. You know, he was bashing psychics like you wouldn't believe and doing a great job of it. But they didn't find any worth in that. They just wanted to pick on one thing that he said because they didn't like him. And then we had Greta Christina on the exact opposite end of the spectrum. And we never once talked to her about feminism, not a single time. And we got a negative review that called us like ultra fucking leftist feminists who think that, you know, every time there's vaginal sex, a woman is raped or something stupid like that. And I was like, we didn't even talk about that. We talked about her book, Coming Out Atheist. We never fucking talked to her about feminism, not a single time. But the problem is people are so pigheaded that they hear or they see someone that they dislike. So now they've got to fucking lash out. And that's childish and stupid. We got a message from Jonathan, and Jonathan wanted us to talk about the skeptic group that's in Montreal, because there was a caller from Montreal, and he said, hey, there's a group called Mouton No More. I guess I don't know how do you pronounce
I don't know
that.
What Moutons is.
It's a very
it's
French
sheep. No more, right? That's
it's
the
a
sheep, right?
It's a website that is in French, so I understand some of it. There is some English, I guess. There's some English on there, and then there's also some French. So if you want to check them out, you can. They're in Montreal. We're going to put a link to it on this week's show notes so you can see it. And the person who called last week, we're thinking it's JS from Montreal. You can check out that skeptics group. We got a message, a bunch of messages about that Breivik guy. It looks like that his sentence, I think, was that. But it's not that he's going to get out, because I guess that's like how that's the time in which they parole them or something. They sort of explained it. Gosh, how the fuck do you pronounce that? Thorvind says, he says that in general, the Norwegian system is rehabilitation-based, not revenge-based. And if there's a protect the community mechanism. So if your sentence has this, you will not be released until it's determined that you're no longer a threat to society. So it sounds like the parole system here.
Yeah, I like that. It's like you get 21 years, but if you're still fucked up,
yeah,
we can hang on to you.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you're the greatest mass murderer in, you know, all recent time, then we're going to hang on to you for a while, as it turns out.
We got a message from Judy, and Judy asks if we know of any non-faith-based counseling, so secular counseling, mental health care professionals that are just, not faith-based. The only person we ever had on that ever talked about any sort of counseling like this was Rebecca Hensler from Grief Beyond Belief. That was a grief counseling, not specifically just, mental health counseling. So I don't know, but if people know, maybe post it on the Facebook as a comment for this particular episode. There's a weird sort of FOID card that the Amish people can get.
Yeah, they can get their thumbprint in place of a picture on the card. But it's
like a sign. They have to sign with a big X. Is that how
they sign with? I done signed with my mark. Ma, Pa, make your mark upon this page.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
I love that they have fucking thumbprints. And I guess that they just buy like ye oldie guns. It's the guns that they inherit, but they can't buy like fucking with the thumbprint cards. You can't go and get anything worthwhile.
Right.
You can only like load ye oldie musket.
Yeah, you can put so. It basically says they're allowed to possess the firearm. So they can't buy a new firearm or ammunition, but they can possess the firearm legally. So if it's in their car or something,
car,
they wouldn't get arrested.
If it's in their car, yeah.
So,
they wouldn't be.
Probably not in their car because they're fucking car. Amish.
Turns out, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess if they're like walking around their property with a fucking flintlock pistol or something.
If it's in their buggy, right? Then yeah.
For a drive-by, a buggy-by shooting.
We got a image for Indiana. And I think this is great. I think, the image itself is, this is from Susan. And Susan says, I found in an old-timey book this great pic of Indiana. It's all pigs, paint, and refrigerators.
It's so funny.
And if you look at it, it really is just all, it's like all they need on here is one meth house.
Right.
They put one meth house in
to
here
rule
somewhere.
Them all.
I think that would be someone should. Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to post this.
This is great.
And then we should have like a coloring contest where people add their own. Right?
I love it.
Add their own shit to Michigan or to Indiana.
Jesus.
Where they have like a state outline and they just draw all the garbage that's in Indiana.
like
road cones on I-65.
Would you love to live like, okay, so Evansville, Indiana, oil. Okay, fine. And then next to it just says refrigerators.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't that rather imply that the rest of Indiana is bereft of refrigerators?
I love this. It's like grain elevators. Like, whoa, let's go see the grain elevators of Indiana.
Oh, let's go to Indiana's beautiful strip coal mining.
Oh, I like how urban Fort Wayne looks. What is there, like 7 people in Fort Wayne? Jesus, it's like a fucking tent city. Are you kidding me?
A tent city.
Damn. Be lucky. This says Railroad Center. You'd be lucky that a train goes there.
Right. Yeah. It's just like Railroad Center. It's like one guy on one of those push cart things.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly. He's got the thing. He's pumping it up and down.
Right.
It's like a pump cart. Fucking Fort Wayne. Are you shitting me? God. It's amazing. Anyway, thanks for sending in. We're going to post it on this week's show. So check it out on our website. So we're going to be back next week. We're going to have only one show again next week, but we will have a patron-only show that we're posting specifically to Patreon probably on Sunday. So after this post to everyone else, you'll have an opportunity only the people who are patrons, of course, can listen. But we hope that people enjoy it, and that should be pretty fun. We want to thank everybody for getting us to this goal, and we can't thank you guys enough for donating to the show. So that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you, like we always do, with the Skeptic Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy, healing, water, downward spiral, brain deadpan, sales pitch, late night info docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts. shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and views expressed in this show are that of the hosts only. Our poorly formed and expressed notions do not represent those of our wives, employers, friends, families, or of the local dairy council.
So I want to tell you a story, though, before we get started.
All right.
So I know everybody hates Comcast because I hate Comcast.
Yeah, they're terrible.
And I think I, you know, like you see the memes where they're like fucking worse than Hitler. And they literally are worse than Hitler. I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah. If I could have Hitler back but get rid of Comcast.
Yeah.
Hitler, fuck, yeah.
If Hitler could meter my internet for me, that would be awesome. So I get... A while back, my fucking pay-per-view stopped working, and then like I called Comcast to try to fix it.
I'd Which is a greater problem than the slaughter of 6 million Jews.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. Let's be very clear about our priorities.
So I try to fix it. They had me on the phone. I want to say no fewer than 10 times trying to fix it. They sent a guy out here. He couldn't figure it out, and they just gave the fuck up. They're like,
"Wait, what?
You can't get pay per view. Like they won't. Like there's no pay per view for me. I cannot get like a UFC anymore.
But you used to.
Yeah, I know. But then it just stopped working. That's what changed.
That's what changed, Tom.
It stopped.
It's like going to the doctor and being like. Yeah, I'm a fucking can't move my arm anymore. What do you think it is? Well, I think it's arm immobility.
The thing is that your arms stop working.
Well, that's not it. I mean, that's the symptom, motherfucker.
They couldn't figure it out. They had it. They fucking tried to reset my box many times. It was so funny because I'd get on the phone with them and I'd have these conversations. I keep on talking to them over and over. And I'm like, look, the pay-per-view didn't work yesterday. Oh, well, we're showing that it did. And I would have these arguments with them. You're like,
we're showing you.
Fucking pay-per-view did not work. I pressed the button. It didn't work. Anyway, so that didn't work. So that was a while ago. I get a message from Comcast that says, hey, press this button on your remote to see if you need to upgrade your box. Because we have to upgrade all the boxes. Okay, yeah. Fine. I kind of put it off for like a really long time. I was like,
sure.
Because there's two boxes in my house. One of them I rarely use. We use it. Maybe once a month when someone else is in the other room, that sort of thing. Yeah, maybe a little more than that, but clearly we don't use it all the
time. Right.
And I just like I put it off. I finally press the button. It's like, you need a new box. You can set this up where they'll send you one and you can install it yourself. And I was like, that sounds great. I just fucking want to get over with so you stop putting this thing on my screen, you know?
Right.
And so I fucking get the new box. It shows up today. I plug it in. And it says go to Comcast Activate or whatever to activate your box. So I go there and the website's down. And I'm like, how the fuck is the website? Like, it's fucking your Comcast. You run the internet.
You're selling like,
you provide it to me. How are you down? How does it even work? So then I was like, okay, fine. Well, that's down. It has a phone number on it. So I was like, fucking, I'll just call. Like, fucking, how hard could this be? So I call. The guy's like, okay, well, you got to do this thing, set your box up. And I'd already set it up. I was like, it's already set up, sir. All I have to do is plug it in. Just tell me when to do it. He's like, okay, plug it in. I plugged it in. He's like, it's going to do its thing. So it does its thing for a while. And the whole time, he's like, every 2 minutes, he's like, what is it doing now? What's it doing now?
It's
What's
being it doing a box. Now?
And it keeps
What does he think it's going to do? Like grow fucking arms and legs and start dancing?
Well, it shows different shit on the screen. And so he's like, oh, what is it doing? Oh, well, it says, upgrading your experience. But it's been upgrading my experience for like the past 5 minutes. So then finally, it finally gets to an error. And it says, yeah, your shit needs to be restarted by a rep, like somebody at Comcast. And there's a number on the screen. I read it to him. And he's like, oh, okay, well, let me do that. So he does it. nothing happens. He does it again, nothing happens. We go through a cycle of me restarting the box, him sending a signal, him, me now waiting 5 minutes and then reporting the status of the screen to him for 5 minutes. Then it finally shuts itself down and says it can't be rebooted or whatever. They've got to do it. And then he tries it twice, and then he tells me to reset the box. I spent almost an hour on the phone with this guy today.
Oh,
an hour of my day trying to fix this fucking box that I don't even really care that I watch.
Yeah, you didn't even want it.
I didn't really care.
You were happy with the old box.
It totally worked.
Right.
And now I've got to set aside time in my week to be home when one of those jagoffs comes to my door and tries to fix my box.
The last time I talked to Comcast, dude, the last time, because we don't watch any TV at our house. Like, I have a cable box only because the only way for me to get internet was to also, like, it was cheaper for me to get, and I don't understand this business model. It was cheaper for me to get TV and internet than it was for me just to get internet.
Huh.
So I want just the internet. And they're like, yeah, it's like $70. I'm like, fine, great. Cancel the TV. I don't need it because I used to have a TiVo and I had a Comcast card that went into TiVo.
Yeah, yeah.
And we just stopped using it. We just found we just don't use it for anything. So I'm like, well, I don't want to pay for it. So just cancel. I'm like, well, it's $70. I'm like, fine, great, whatever. I don't care. And they're like, but you can get internet and then we'll upgrade your internet and give you TV and it'll be $60. I was like, wait.
Yeah, but that's only a limited time. That's how the business model works.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's only for, like, I don't know. I think I had to agree to have it for 2 years or something. I don't remember. So I was like, okay, fine. So then they sent out this cable box thing and it didn't work. I had the fucking same experience. Like, it's like, do you want to have somebody come out and pay to have them install it? Or do you want to do it yourself? I'm like, well, I can connect it. So I connect it and it doesn't work. And I call the guy and I'm like, it doesn't work. I get sound, but I get no picture. And he's like, ah, you're probably not connecting. And I'm like, it's an HDMI cable.
Yeah.
it's one cable. It goes from the thing to the other thing. Like anybody, literally anybody could do this.
Yeah.
I could get my fucking infant son to connect this.
As long as you covered it with peanut butter, he'd probably be like, yes.
Fucking literally anybody that can put a thing into a thing could do this. This is not fucking rocket science. So, you know, like we go back and forth and on and on. And finally I said, you know, the guy's like, all right, well, call us back. And I said, I think you misunderstand this relationship. If I have to ever call you ever again in my life, the only reason I will call you is to cancel service. I will never call for any other reason ever, not even one time. So we can either stay on the phone and fix the problem, which is fine,
yeah,
or we can cancel all of my services right now. I'm happy either way. I literally have no preference. It means nothing to me. But I will never pick up this phone and dial your number again. That can never happen.
That's awesome.
And they stayed on the phone. They stayed on the phone, and eventually it was the same. I got a fucking new box sent and I connected it and it worked because the other one was broken. But they never want to admit that the first thing they send doesn't work.
Yeah.
They're just
like,
probably
what happened here is this one's broken. I guarantee this guy's gonna come in here. He's gonna walk in, he's gonna fiddle with it for a second. He's like, oh, it's fucking busted.
It doesn't work.
The last time I had Comcast out, I was getting internet problems. I was having internet, like, intermittent service, and I called them and I said, I'm having intermittent service, and they're like, okay, we'll send somebody out. And then they send somebody out, and the guy's like, yeah, you didn't have it connected right. But the guy spent all his time outside of my house and then came in and, like, just changed the modem out. And then it worked, and it worked great. And I'm like, that motherfucker opened up some shit out in the brick outside, and now he's blaming me for it. I was like, fuck you, dude. I didn't have a connected
right.
There's
no way
it was connected just fine.
Right.
It was working, asshole. It was just working like shit.
Well, plus, it's like it probably was working for several months at a time and then stopped working.
And then stops working.
Right.
And then
so
he blames
it on
me.
You connected it wrong. When you do that, it only works for 6 months. Like, what are you talking about?
It only works for 4 years and then suddenly takes a shit on you. Yeah.
Right. You want to be like, that's not how electricity works. These guys are amazing. You do know that this is all based on electricity, right?
I can't wait until fucking there's a viable option other than Comcast that opens up for me, because my building gets Comcast, so my building is sort of like has a group plan, so I can't change out. But the moment that ends, I'm gonna be like, any of you, literally any other of you, I will take.
You know, that's a business, honestly, that has to be shitting itself in fear constantly, because it has to know. I mean, it has to know that all rankings rated as the most hated company in America.
Yeah.
And so everybody is switching immediately when they have literally any other option.
Yeah.
Any other option. You could be like, the other option could be like, hello, I'm 2 tin cans and a string service. And you'd be like, fucking right on, bro.
It's Amish internet service. Here right? you go. Yeah. We send things by carrier pigeon. They're like, all right, that's fine. What's your upload speeds? They're one. It's one. It's literally one. 1 megabyte? No.
No.
One byte of information.
Yeah. Some Amish guy runs over to your house and takes a bite of a sandwich.
Yeah, he runs over and he just goes, one. And then he runs back and then he's like, zero. And then he runs back, one. And then he runs back, zero.
Hang on, I got to write this down. What was the last number?